This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
Possibly the greatest life hack slash tip slash domestic slice of genius appears in today's episode. Hello, welcome back. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. It's Tom Price speaking, as usual, as ever, ploughing my way through some innocent, funny bystander's Amazon purchase history. That's what we do on the show. We go through an online purchase history to tell a life story. My guest this week is Vittorio Angeloni. He is a stand-up comedian, and he is also a very proficient musician, which we will shortly be discussing. If you want to hear some home truths about what goes on in orchestras, specifically percussion departments, then I recommend you keep listening. I also recommend you keep listening if you want to hear, like I say, the greatest domestic tip of all time. All that and more on the way as we go once more into My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. Don't pass talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Hello, welcome back. You've made a great choice. You've decided to listen to slash watch another episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster, the show where we tell a life story through an online purchase history. And my guest today is the comedian Vittorio Angeloni. Hello.
Great work on the name.
Thank you.
And you didn't even ask beforehand. That's just solid. That's solid effort from you.
Thank you very much.
Because like either what I find is somebody will ask before the record, which I really don't mind, of course. Like like when you're hosting a gig, you always like check how everybody says their names or whatever. But you've just gone for it and you've nailed it. It's an easy name.
I think I knew, because I've heard you talked about it. So I think I just knew the name. Do you know what I mean? By the way, just if it's Tom.
Tom.
Just in case. Tom. That's it. So no, the first time you did it.
Tom.
That's bad. Yeah, that's nice.
But I can, because mine would be like Tom.
good.
Because I can diphthong anything because it's Belfast. Tom.
Is there a sort of Belfast extra syllable thing? You just get some bonus syllables.
We get bonus bits all over the place. But we do pronounce our R's, which is my thing about English accents. So for example, what do you call a dog's hand?
A paw.
And if you don't have any money, you would be?
Paw.
And if you had a drink and you wanted to decant it into another thing?
Paw.
Come on. Paw, poor, and poor.
Oh! Do them again. So hang on, do them one more time for you. So it's...
Dog's hand is paw.
Yeah.
Poor, a drink.
Oh my God.
And I don't have any money, so I'm poor.
That's...
Whereas yours is paw, paw, paw.
Paw, paw, paw.
Paw, paw, paw.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And to be honest,
and
I'm
you're
so posh.
Speaking the language
I'm
correctly.
So posh, I kind of have someone who does all those things for me. And I'm never the third, for God's sake. It's a really, really alien concept to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, Vittorio, we've got a crack on.
We must.
There's a format to attend to here.
Mm.
And that format is going through your purchase history. We've had a seamless login off air.
Pretty good.
It was one of the great logins. It might even be a PB. We're in, it's starting April 2013. That's when you started on Amazon.
Okay, so I was 17. I was still in Belfast at this point.
Okay, I think we can tell what kind of 17-year-old you were. 17 years old. He's in Belfast. He's full of hormones and desires and all sorts is going on. This guy's going to be a stand-up comedian, and he's bought the Doctor Who TARDIS mug and lid.
That was a present for my girlfriend at the time. I have forgotten about that.
Well, you got it in April, and then in September
and
you bought
I filled it with jewellery from Accessorize.
Oh...
I thought it was so such a great birthday present.
So classy.
Yeah, because 12th of April is her birthday.
Oh. And you put it on the 13th of April.
The day after. That's so funny. That's such a next day delivery is necessary
Beautiful.
Thing. I just didn't know anything about her, but I knew I loved her. And she like once said she liked Doctor Who.
Wow.
So I got her this obnoxious mug.
For me, when I look at your opening purchases, April 2013... the Doctor Who TARDIS mug and lid. September 2013, the 11th of September.
Okay.
To mark a serious day, you've bought the Doctor Who TARDIS notebook.
Again, I think that was maybe a Christmas present for the same girl who didn't like Doctor Who that much.
Who didn't like, this is the thing. And he bought it in September. So you've really gone, I love this girl so much and I know so much about her.
So pathetic. This is so pathetic.
So this is who we are as 17-year-olds. You're in love with her, you know, and you've remembered that one fact about
her. We were together for like 4 years, from when I was 16 till I was 20. Yeah.
See, I would say in the same way that dog years, you know, every year for a dog is 7 years, every year in a relationship when you're a teenager, I think you should amplify that by at least 2 or 3. So a 4-year teenage relationship, that's like 10 years, man, because so much happens.
Yeah, and you should change a lot. And I think that's often what happens in slightly younger relationships is you end up feeling stuck because you're worried that the version that you were when you got together is the version that you have to be going forward because that's what they fell for.
Yeah.
And then you sort of, but then maybe you put a pressure on them to be the same person and you sort of don't expect them to have changed. And I'm quite a rigid thinker, diagnosis pending on the autism front.
Okay.
I remember this idea of like, you know, 4 years into a relationship. You started the relationship when you were 16. And then 4 years in, you're at the pub at university and you're like, I got your favorite drink. And she's like, I don't drink WKD anymore. And that's sort of the emotional equivalent of that, of like expecting them to still like the same stuff.
You're expecting to be 20 and still be going out with a 16-year-old. But ironically, they regenerate.
Yeah. That got a lot more pedo-y than I was hoping that it would.
That is the danger about talking about teenage relationships. You have to really underline that by going, when I was also a teenager.
When I was 20, I just wished my girlfriend was 16.
Yeah, you're right. Out of context, that's terrible. I'll make sure I edit that. So just clip that. Elsewhere, November 2013, you bought the President Barack Obama life-size cutout.
That's just a bit of fun, I think.
Sure.
I think that was just a fun present for my brother, probably. I think there's a moment in every boy's life where you just get very excited about cardboard cutouts.
Yeah.
And also we found this website when I was in sixth form, where it was called like block posters or something, but basically you could make an enormous poster of any size you wanted.
Oh God.
Printed on lots of A4 pages.
Yeah.
So you could do it.
Oh, and then you put all the A4 pages together.
You put it all together.
Good.
And it becomes whatever. And I did a massive, probably bigger than A0. I think it was like 24 A4 pages. And it was of the vice principal of the school, Mr. Dobbin. Shout out Mr. Dobbin. Dickhead.
Alleged dickhead.
And I put obey at the bottom of it and like hung it in the middle of the school.
What at the bottom of it?
Obey. Like O-B-E-Y. And he liked it, which is just a mark of the man.
That is so annoying.
He was like, that's so funny. I was like, man, we hate you.
Do you know how long that took? The blue tack and the sellotape.
Unbelievable. And we had an ongoing battle with the lady who ran the sixth form center at the school, where we would put up a giant poster of Morgan Freeman every day and they would dig it down every day.
It's just like, this is the sort of thing you'd expect. I don't know. It's quite sort of like frats in college. Do you know what I mean? It's just sort of kind of every day going, this repeated behavior and we will just keep going until something changes.
Yeah. I loved all that stupid, like little bits of harmless mischief.
Mm.
Like I wasn't a big prankster. I didn't like any like actual damage being caused, but I think like a little bit of like, oh, isn't this, aren't I clever? You know what I mean? And I would, there was a, at the School of Music where I did lots of music lessons, I wrote on the wall, no matter how many times you paint over this, it will return. Mm. And the poor caretaker at the Belfast School of Music, getting paid absolutely fuck all, would come up, paint over it every week. And every week I would fucking...
I mean, there's something sort of vaguely Shawshank about this whole thing. Do you know what I mean? Just like...
I'm a Shawshanky boy.
Uh-huh. You're very institutionalized. You are, do you know what I mean? The repeat patterns.
That's how I got on Countdown. I was inspired by Shawshank. So I was on Normal Countdown, not the one that means you're a good or famous comedian.
Uh-huh, right.
and it's always one or the other, good or famous. Mm-hmm. I just loved
Weirdly, Countdown. I've never got on it. So I'm very much neither.
I applied to be on Countdown because I really, really liked Countdown when I was 19 or 20. And didn't hear anything back. So I sent the same application every day for a month. And they eventually were like, fine.
This is, I mean, to be fair, this is how you got on this show today.
Kept persistent.
The emails had to stop. And here we are, finally. I think persistence is, you know, it's an important life skill, especially becoming a stand-up, as you know, very much are, right?
Mm.
And you mentioned music. So you were at the music school at Belfast. And so why? How come comedy came along and distracted you from your musical calling?
So I moved to London to be a classical musician. Yeah,
classical. What does that mean? Playing all sorts of instruments or just one instrument?
Percussion is anything you hit. Just xylophone, timpani, glockenspiel, drums, all that stuff.
Great.
Triangle. I was a very good triangle player.
Oh, classic. Yeah.
Played at the proms and all that stuff, like all very, very mad. And the Albert Hall's on the bucket list for a tour show, which is a crazy thing to say, but like
that's what a bucket list is.
Yeah,
that's what you're meant to do.
Yeah, it shouldn't be like I want to do a work in progress at the Bill Murray.
Exactly. Like, I'm trying to manifest a charity night at the Comedy Store on a Monday. That's what I'm hoping for. Right? You have to aim high. That's...
Yeah. Although what's crazy is the Bill Murray, the first time I did a solo show there, I cried because that's where I went to see comedy in London for the first time.
So the Bill Murray is a brilliant comedy venue in Islington, and it's an incredible, it was a pub and they turned it into a comedy venue, yeah. And it's a moment to do a show there, even though it's just
and
a small
And my name
room.
On their little light box above the door, I was like, and it's like 85 people in a room, and I was like, I fucking did it.
So easily pleased, man. But of course.
But yeah, that's just all, like the dreams just get bigger anyway.
So going on stage somewhere like the Albert Hall, did you go on stage at the Albert Hall to do this stuff then?
Yeah. And not by myself.
You had a triangle with you.
Yes.
But when you're on there and you're looking out of the room, was part of you thinking, I'd love to just come and tell some jokes here?
I fell asleep. At one of my promised performances, I fell asleep at the back of the room. Because there's not much to do as a percussionist. Like there's very little.
Isn't there a beat? Am I going to keep a beat going?
No, not in Stravinsky's Firebird Suite.
That's true. Yeah, of course. I forgot about Stravinsky's Firebird Suite. Yeah. So at the end, you are literally that thing at the end going.
So I was in the first movement and then I wasn't back in until the Infernal Dance, which is the penultimate movement. And
so how long's the gap?
Maybe 3 or 4 movements. So probably 20 minutes. Somebody's right. Going to be annoyed at me for getting that wrong.
Of course, that's what comments are for. But I thought you were going to say, so the gap was like an hour and a half, and I was going to go, fair play.
That can happen in operas.
Ugh.
So I talk about this, the Royal Opera House in Covent Garden, the brass and percussion, because they're at the back and they're in the pit and nobody can see them. Mm. The pit means like under the stage for people listening. On their music, if they have a few movements off, it won't say like an hour and a half, like you said. Mm. It'll say like 2.5. And that means that they can make it out of the pit, across the road, into the pub, 2.5 pints, and back.
That is a wonderful
for their
system.
Next thing. They're all sloshed. Can I? I say this every so often on a podcast. If you go see an orchestra, or in the West End, if you hear the orchestra, they are smashed. They're all hammered.
So conductors aren't, they've got nothing to do with time. There's just a breathalyzer system with the conductor
basically,
going, sober up, sober up, sober up. That's why they look so angry.
They're fucked. It's so funny, particularly the brass and percussion at the back because they have like the least to do.
So who are the Mavericks then? In the same way that in rock bands or whatever, there's a cliche that the bassist is the kind of crazy guy. Who's that version?
So brass and percussion are like the booziest, probably. And like the oboes are very straight-laced.
Right. Do they get picked on? They're like, oboe player, sit over there, don't come near
nerds,
us.
Nerds, big, big nerds. And because they have the reeds and they always have to be like filing the reeds and like dunking them in water and keeping them moist and whatever. Nerds.
And so they're called like the reed botherers.
And they're just awful people. No, oboes are nice. And then obviously there's like viola jokes and like bassoons. Bassoons are interesting. There was like, I don't know, bassoon. It's weird when you go to music college because it's basically like to study classical music. It's everybody from around the UK and the world who was the most bullied at their school.
Of course.
Arrives in one building,
yeah.
But people still try to sort themselves into hierarchies.
Yeah.
Where it's like you see somebody being mean to someone else and like talking down to them. And I'm like, you're a bassoonist. Stop acting like you're the alpha. We're all nerds.
Yeah. Again, prison vibes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You got to pick a table to set up.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are white nationalists. No, that.
All right, look, 2015 now. You've bought the Trommel Suite snare drum suite.
There we go. Now we're studying. That's a set of solo snare drum pieces. Can you think of anything worse?
No. Solo snare drum. What is the snare drum?
So if you ever see like a marching band.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And a classic example of snare drum is the 20th Century Fox. Rat-tat.
Love that.
Rat-tat.
I can tell you're trained. That was just like, that was bang on. Bang on. So marching drum stuff.
No, well, it's not marching. It is stationary, but it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fine. Which one was your favorite one? Do you ever still do any of it now, or just lost a comedy? No,
I did something recently just because I got an email, and I never get an email like offering it anymore because I've stopped replying.
But you're going to become a famous comedian, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you pretty much already are, right? And people are going to be like, oh my God, the snare drum guys are going to be like, let's get Vittorio in. He can come and do it. So they're going to ask you back to do stuff. Are you ready for
that? I would love to do like one gig a year. I think that would be my dream. I got an email from like my old uni, the Guildhall School of Music and Drama, mm-hmm. and they needed a bunch of people because, you know, very, very big in the sort of classical music, probably isn't the right word for it, but orchestral music world is these play along live with a film.
Oh, yeah.
Gigs.
Sure thing.
They're the biggest thing in the world right now.
And how does that, as a musician though, is that good fun to do?
Love it. I really want to go to Lord of the Rings with a live orchestra. I think that would be class.
But when you're playing, you'd want to do that?
No, because I want to watch Lord of the Rings.
That's the problem.
So we did a run through because they were trialing Avatar.
Oh yeah.
With live instruments. And for percussion, that's crazy because it's all these mad like tribally drum things. And the interesting thing, and this is not interesting, I shouldn't have teed this up and said it's interesting.
No, don't worry. We have a very low bar on this show.
The incredibly boring thing about it is that film scores have never been played the whole way through, all in one go.
Right, no, yeah,
because they're recorded in little sections and then
pieced
films
together. Have never been acted all the way through.
Exactly, yeah. And it's looped, it's whatever. So they sort of have to be re-scored and re-figured out to be performed the whole way through. So like it was a real runaround of percussion where you're going from this drum to this drum to this drum to this
thing. That's great.
And you're fucking,
because I hadn't
played in years. So I was there with all, and just because I replied to the email, because what I did is I texted my friend, be like, did you get this email as well? And he was like, yeah, I'm doing it. And I was like, I'm doing it. Uh-huh. So it was me and a bunch of guys who are professional percussionists running around the back of this room. And me just like, there was one point where I was like, my face was so close to the music just because I can barely read it anymore. And my mate was like,
by getting your face closer, that'll help.
I was
of course.
Like, yeah, this will do the job. But my mate was like, come on, fucking. And obviously, because they're all very pro, they were like, let's go to the pub in between.
1.5, 1.5.
Well, I mean, honestly, it is a thing. You have to learn how to play drunk.
Play drums, play drunk.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it. That's so, so good.
So I did the Avatar thing, and I did find myself sort of like, screens right above your head.
A long film as well.
They're big. Yeah, so that's the last thing that I did. I really want, I'm working, it's sort of been kicked into the long grass. I was working on an idea of a stand-up show with an orchestra.
Right, yes.
Because the BBC like basically own a bunch of orchestras. So it's like not that hard to like fund or whatever, but mm-hmm. I want to spend loads of time writing it and making it really, really funny. I partly just want to go to the back of the second violins on stage and be like, and this is the worst violinist in the orchestra. And everybody knows. Because that's why they sit here.
Is that true?
Yeah, it goes from front to back.
Right, okay. So
the worst violinist at the back.
This is absolutely brutal.
Wouldn't that be fun?
But you're like, the code of the orchestra is endless. And for someone to come along and not whistle blow, but to call it.
I feel like I'm kind of like ruining the magician circle or something here. Like,
yeah, do that though.
Yeah, I think it's just to, but I also think there's so much bullshit with orchestral music that people feel really locked out of it who could really enjoy it. Because all those people who go to see Lord of the Rings at the Albert Hall would like a symphony by Shostakovich.
Yes.
But they don't feel like they know how to listen to it.
Yeah.
Which is an insane thing to think. Because of course you know how to listen to it.
The best way to make anything accessible is to make it truthful and funny. That's all you got to do. And just let people in on it.
And stop fucking wearing tuxedos. That's my big thing with orchestral music. Why the fuck? You're not better than the people in the crowd. You're all idiots.
It's so weird. Are they sponsored by Moss Bros? Like, I don't understand.
It's just a hangover of like, the past.
Also, they must get hot and smelly in there.
The orchestral musicians are the same as doctors, is you have a lot of respect for them until you hang out with them. And you go, oh, you're an idiot.
So this is why you left and pivoted towards comedy, right? Frustration or boredom?
No, there was some element of I got repetitive strain injury because you're practicing like 6 hours a day, which is crazy. It's real like diligent stuff. And I was quite a lazy classical musician, which I believe has translated into me being quite a hardworking comedian.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Yeah. That's like Jimmy Carr levels of work ethic.
The bars are very different.
Yeah.
But 2 years in, I just started doing comedy. I just put on a comedy night at Freshers Week because I was working in the SU and I was like, oh, I can. And I was like, I'll host it.
And there we go. What year was that?
That was in my third year of university. So it was probably 2017. Oh no, my final year, 2017.
Okay. Okay. Because we're seeing you at college here at 2016, buying all the important things such as the George Foreman 2-portion compact grill in cream.
That served me well. That served me very well.
Earnest I've seen you in the whole interview so far.
George Foreman's were good. I went on a mad health kick in uni as well, which was also like a budgeting kick. I had no money when I was at music college. I think my budget at one point was £12 a week for food, which isn't enough for food. But
no,
I would go in, and I've said this on my podcast, and people got really angry at me about it. I would go into Tesco during the day.
Yeah. Steal stuff.
No. I don't like stealing things because that's against the rules.
Absolutely.
But I tell you what isn't illegal. Finding all the sandwiches that are today's date, hiding them.
Brilliant. Yes.
And then coming back later at 9 when they discount everything and going, oh, this needs to be discounted because it's today's date. Mm. And then you get like 90% off all your sandwiches.
How often did you do that?
Like 3 times a week.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Works well for cookies as well because it's handwritten dates because they're big.
Yeah. That's a really, really clever system. I really like that. I'm going to steal that. I'm going to steal your...
Lack of stealing,
right? Because it's not quite stealing.
I like this. See, this is
it's loophole vibes.
I love a loophole. On my
neighbor, you've bought a personalized tin. Don't know what for. With your own image, text, personalized details required, it says here.
That's another present.
Yeah, there you go.
For the girlfriend.
Okay. Again, is
because
it...
Because I bought her... a Polaroid camera.
Right.
And I thought it would be nice to have a nice tin to keep the Polaroids in.
Oh, that's nice.
Again, it wasn't a nice tin. I was an idiot.
Sure, but...
But I was trying.
Yeah. And so you're still together in 2016, then, right? Because you were together from 16 till 20. So did you stay with her for most of your time at college then?
Yeah, she dumped me 3 times. So there was bits of...
So when she finally got rid of you, it really was third time lucky when she finally...
Yeah, it stuck the third time.
you took the hint.
Yeah. So that was, I think she got rid probably 2018. Mm-hmm. Probably it was like the last time she broke up with me, but it was like on Ziofsky's. I think this was probably after the first breakup, but during the first get back together.
She wasn't at college with you?
No, so we went to school together in Belfast. She was the year above. And then she moved to Newcastle.
Sure.
And then that was quite tricky long distance. Mm-hmm. Doesn't take that long, but it's flights, which sort of makes it feel...
Yeah, miles.
Bigger. And I was still in school, which is harder.
It's weird. It's always weird for schoolboys to say, sorry, can we wrap up this lesson? I've got to jump on a flight.
Newcastle, actually?
Yeah.
And I was such an idiot. There was twice I showed up to the airport on the wrong day.
Oh,
and I was just fucking stupid. And then I moved to London, which was actually harder. So I was flat out on the megabus up and down London to Newcastle.
Because
she was doing a much more intense degree than I was doing. Like in terms of contact hours. You have to do a lot of your own practice stuff for classical music, but like at music college, but... not very many like lessons that you have to be there for. So it's much more flexible.
Yeah.
Whereas hers was a very heavy contact hours degree. So I was up and down on the megabus twice a month. 7 hours on the Megabus?
I think it's important to go through that sort of stage. Oh, we're touching toes.
That's
we're, literally,
so
our toes just kissed. God, that was incredible. it's important to have those relationships, often at university. Mine was like only a year where my girlfriend was 3 hours away. And I spent most of my time at uni trying to work out when I was leaving to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's simple. I don't know why. It's not helpful. It's not good. The relationship was never going to last.
But you feel so romantic. You're like, this is what love is. The Megabus.
There's something about the act of travel creates more of the love,
yeah.
Right? The travel I have to do to get to my wife now is about this long. Hi.
Which is why traveling people have the biggest weddings in those TV shows.
See? Oh, great. God, we're getting some real human truths here. I love it. You've bought you've got a Casio men's watch.
I buy that every time I lose it. £7.
That is an absolute. It's the MQ247BLLGF, just in case anyone's interested. It's got a resin strap. Do you know the fact about the picture of the watch on it? You know, it's showing 10 past 10.
All watches and clocks in advertising are 10 past 10 because it makes you think that their watch is happy.
Because it looks like a smile, right? This is a classic thing, which Dave Gorman did a load of stuff on this.
You'll never be able to look at a clock advertised ever again.
It's unbelievable.
I did it in my special for a laugh.
Oh, what the?
My watch.
just so you knew someone was smiling at you. So if a joke doesn't work and Vittorio looks at his watch.
Pretty good.
This guy likes
pretty
it.
Pretty good.
just so you know, don't get too upset. Ryan purchased it for £6.64. Free postage, arrived within 3 days. What more could I ask?
Well, that one said 14. It does kind of fluctuate the price of this Casio watch, but I always have two. Like, I have one of these in my house.
So, right, okay.
So if and when I lose it. I tried to break it on my first tour. There was a bit where I hit the microphone off my watch as like a...
Yeah.
To note the time thing. And on the last show, I really wanted to break it, but it never broke.
And it survived.
Good watch. And it fucking tells the time.
Casio,
really easily.
They really are classics.
I don't get... Are you one of these watch guys? You're watchless beyond belief.
Watchless beyond belief right now. I have an Apple Watch.
I think that's okay.
Yeah, but do you know what? I just get a bit sweaty.
I'm a frequent, when I sit down somewhere, like if at a restaurant or out for lunch or something, I will take off my watch and just set it on the table.
Can I tell you something? I get really grossed out by watch sweat. So if I was sitting to have a lunch with you, could happen. Okay, maybe it wouldn't.
Happen after this. We'll go for a falafel.
God, I'm busy. and we sat down to chat, right? Mm-hmm. And you took your watch off. I wouldn't be able to eat.
But this isn't the sweaty watch.
I don't care. I know. I don't question or doubt any of your personal
leather
hygiene.
Watches are.
Adam Buxton, name drop, once told me that someone at school, what he was at school with, used to smell his watch, right? Yeah, right. And then every now and again, we'd get a little bit of sweat and he'd just lick the sweat.
No, because it's like, it's the same as shin pad sweat. It's the exact same.
My kids get back from football and they wear their shin pads all day and I peel them off their legs.
There's nothing smells worse, but also it's a good smell.
That's what I'm saying. That's the bit. Right, you've just found the bit that makes me heave. It's the bit where secretly you go, yeah, but that's a good smell.
It's a nostalgic smell.
That's the dirty bit about all this.
Because playing sport has made me happier than anything else in my whole life ever. Sorry to my girlfriend. But that shin pad smell is like, oh yeah, I remember when life was good.
What's your go-to sport then, football?
Rugby, which isn't a shin pad sport. Rugby, although I'm going to the physio today because my neck is absolutely fucked from playing rugby.
You play, so I'm going to say scrum half.
Very rarely people get that. At scrum half at the minute. I prefer playing outside centre, but scrum half's nice because you definitely will get the ball.
So the scrum half, just for those of you who aren't familiar with rugby, what's wrong with you? The busy player, the scrum half, running around, and the sort of hybrid between the big, chunky players and then the fast, sexy
backs. And a bit
backs.
Of a mouth. A bit of a mouth on a scrum
Chopsy.
Half.
Chopsy.
Yeah.
I always think of the Welshman Mike Phillips as my favourite scrum half of all time.
He was too handsome.
He was so gorgeous, wasn't he? He would stand there at the back of the scrum. He'd just put his foot on the rugby ball and just look around at the stadium.
Beautiful.
Do you know what I mean? Just
beautiful.
Expecting applause. Beautiful. There's a game on, Mike. Are you gonna? So you still play rugby?
I still play. So I went off rugby when I moved to London, partly because I broke my collarbone just before I moved to London. Somebody picked me up, turned me upside down.
Stop it! In a game of rugby.
In a game of rugby.
Sure. Collarbone break as well can be.
It still sits funny. I have a mole here that is on my collarbone, but didn't used to be on my collarbone. No. That's how fucked it is.
No.
It used to be on my neck.
wow.
Yes. Yeah, so, and then classical music very stressed about my hands and breaking things and any of that stuff because you're just, it's over.
Yeah.
So I didn't play for that whole time. It's also difficult to move to London and I was on £12 a week for food and to get to a game, all the pitches are like way outside London.
Yeah.
Or I say, well, it's fucking Fulham. But like at that time I was like, God, that's a trek and it costs £10 to get there, £10 to get back. Mm. I just didn't have the money to go do it, really. Mm-hmm. So I stopped playing for ages. And then the last 18 months, I've joined Haringey Rhinos.
Okay.
Class.
Yeah. Class. That's, so here's my question to you. Because my son plays a bit and I used to play at school. And the problem is you just get hurt. I mean, you've already told a story about your collarbone, right? And if I go, I love golf, right? And all sometimes a bit football. And it's very rare for me to get physically hurt. When I last played rugby, I just got really hurt. You're talking about your neck being hurt. Mm. I'm just, and yes, you can call me a coward and a big scaredy cat, whatever. But I'm just scared of doing a sport where I might come back with something broken. Discuss.
Yeah, I love it. And there's moments on the pitch and I'm not playing it at like a crazy competitive level. Like, you know, it's half decent, but it's not like, it's nothing mad. It's not the level I was playing at before I left Belfast, probably. But there's moments where you see a bigger guy running and you just go, like, I'll try and tackle him, but I'm not putting my face where his knees are.
Oh, so you do, you can make some decisions.
I like my neck thing was me. I was holding up a try and then the momentum skidded to a halt. So we both went upwards. Both his weight and my weight were on my head.
That's
and I was holding up the ball and I was like, well, I'm going to let go.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'll be in a wheelchair forever.
Sure. Yeah, or he gets a try.
I was like, well, have the try. Have it.
Yeah, I'm just not sure you've got the right commitment for rugby.
I don't, but I like it. So I play, but I play basketball as well.
Okay.
And football. So I'm getting back into team sports. This is my thing now that I have a bit more time.
Yeah.
I'm getting things in place. Like,
do you feel free of the music thing in that sense that you can do stuff again? That's nice.
Yeah, I'd like to. Like, I sort of want to break something because I can.
Yeah. Could be a great end to the podcast.
If
I could snap a finger at the end. Do you know what I mean?
I'm weirdly like hypermobile.
That's not weird. It's probably from doing all the drumming and stuff.
No, I have like, there's a thing called Ehlers-Danlos that's like in my family-ish, which is like super hypermobility, but stuff like pops out on me all the time. That's my wrist going.
Oh yeah, bleh. Sorry, in order to describe it, I'll verbalize what I can see. So just do it. There you are. That's
nice.
Vittorio's doing with his wrist there. Okay, good. So he's got flexible wrists. He's got lovely eyes. Vittorio Angeloni is my guest on My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Funny way to call someone gay.
It's fine.
He's got flexible wrists and lovely eyes.
Well, you know, it's a very modern show. My Mate Bought a Toaster. I'm going to keep powering through and see how much we can get through in the next sort of 10 minutes or so. We'll skip past the pandemic because pandemic stories are pandemic stories.
It's lots of cables.
There's a lot of cables.
Because I was making a lot of shite during the pandemic. I thought I was going to be a Twitch streamer and then I had 5 podcasts and then I had all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
It's lots of, how do you connect this camera to this audio device?
Yeah. Okay.
And none of those cables are the right cables.
And what happens when you get the wrong cable, you just go, well, I'll keep this wrong cable and buy
it. It might be the right cable.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
I might
need
to connect an American camera to a Korean TV.
You're literally just plugging them in. Sometimes I've been so desperate when I've realized I've got the wrong lightning to USB that I start to physically...
Like if I squeeze it.
Yeah.
It's still electricity. Surely electricity's still going.
Surely there's signal. If I can just squeeze it and push it in. Do you know what I mean? Madness. But I have been so angry that I've tried to do that on several occasions. 2021, you have bought a stainless steel whisk. Congratulations. This is January 2021.
You gotta have a whisk. I get frustrated if I'm at somebody's house and they don't have a whisk.
Yeah. First thing you do when you arrive. You got a whisk? I'm coming in. It's fine. 13th of February, 2021, the Humane Mouse Trap. And not the game, the actual thing.
So close to Valentine's Day to be buying a humane mouse trap.
I mean, darling, I saw this and thought of you. This sums up our relationship perfectly.
Listen, I want to be a nice guy. My girlfriend loves animals. Humane mouse traps are complete bullshit.
Well, it says here, more living space, more humane, which... I don't know. It sounds like part of the Foxton's rental website, to be honest.
Complete bullshit.
Yeah. oh God. And there's a truly humane, and there's like, oh, there's a bit where the tail fits in and it's all fine. And then there's two children playing next to it. There's a mouse that's been stuck in the mousetrap, and then there's two very young kids playing next to it to advertise how safe it is for your kids to be next to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
it's not.
But the mouse isn't going in there.
That's the problem.
Ever. I watched a mouse walk around it, look at it and go, nah, fuck that.
Why would I want to live in there?
It's a plastic box.
I've got the whole house.
I'm in a two-bed flat.
So do you have mice? I mean, everyone has mice.
No, not in the place we're in right now. Oh. And it's like such a... Having mice really ruins my whole life. Like, I need to move.
Seriously?
I can't relax in a place that I know there's like mice in the walls or whatever.
Why? The noise, the filth, the general ick?
I don't actually know what it is, but there's something very... Just like, I don't feel like I can relax.
Yeah.
I also think this, if I live with strangers, like I've only done that like once for 3 months in my whole life.
Bad.
And I can't settle. If there's somebody in the kitchen, I'm not going to the kitchen.
Sound thing? Because you're like aware of what they're, like you're listening out for what they're doing, or?
I just don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah, I understand that.
Don't like it.
Yeah. It's hard when you go. It's the non-versation thing, isn't it? It's the small.
I hate small talk. Oh, don't fucking ask me about the fucking weather or the tube being disrupted. Fuck off.
Hey, it's that. But also, it's the small talk of like, say you're at Edinburgh and you see someone in the same venue and you see them going upstairs to your thing, and then 6 minutes later you walk straight past them on the stairs. What do you say? Do you go, hey? Oh, that's, I'm just going to, you tell them what you're doing. Like, do you know what I mean? It's, I really question what to say in all those situations instead of just being natural and going.
Oh. And then people accuse me of when I do say the thing you're like supposed to say, I say it as if I'm taking the piss out of the fact that you're supposed to say it. That's just slightly true, but I just
going downstairs again.
Yeah. I'm just like, hello.
Yeah.
And they're like, why are you saying it like that? And I'm like, well, cause you're just supposed to say it. I don't want to say hello, but I know I'm supposed to. So I've said, hello, how's it going? How was the show? I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care how your show was. I'm worried about my show.
It's so true. But again, that's too much for a brief meeting on the stairs. You can't get all that in. Green cola. You bought some green Coca-Cola.
I was trying to be slightly more ethical with my cola purchases. It's supposed to be slightly better for you and less bad for the world than Coke.
Yeah, you're being good to the world. You're being kind to mice. You're a great person. We get it.
I mean, too kind to mice. They're Roman free.
Yeah. All right, look, what we're going to do, we're going to go into the last few purchases now because we're running low on time, Vittorio.
And can I say that in the last 2 to 3 years, it has become a shared Amazon account with my partner?
You can absolutely flag that up, and that's fine.
So I've got plausible deniability.
Yeah.
And she did say to me before they left the house, she was like, don't make me look bad.
There's nothing here that you got anything to worry about. The last few purchases, there's... You know, clearly there's kit. You've bought a really nice Rode video mic for £152.
Yeah.
They're Rode.
Yeah.
Lovely microphones, right? Yeah. And also at the same time, you've bought some food waste bags. There's domesticity.
That's a new thing. We have our food waste bin in the freezer. Have you heard of this?
Talk to me.
It's a revolution.
This is because we have maggots in our food bin at the moment.
Not anymore,
it's
you
so
won't.
Hot.
Not anymore, you won't.
Well, it will, but they'll be frozen maggots. So hang on. So you put them in,
it's a little like rubbery plastic container, sits in one of the shelves of your freezer, and you lose half a shelf in the freezer.
That's okay.
I'll take that.
That's fine.
You lose half a shelf in
Don't
the
worry
freezer.
Don't worry about it.
Food waste bag in, goes in, frozen, doesn't smell, no flies, no maggots. Unbelievable, isn't it?
I've done about 150 episodes of this show, and there have been tips and tricks and hacks along the way. That is the first one. That I guarantee you that will be in action by the time I get home this evening.
Sick. So exciting. That's all credit to my girlfriend.
I mean, that's absolutely huge. Is that a thing other people are doing? Or is that just her idea?
No. I think it is. I think she saw some like article about it.
God, let's give her the credit.
But like flying ant there can fuck off. All the fruit flies and all that stuff, gone.
You've literally got a flying ant and maggot killing device, or at least avoidance device, in your house right now. And the chances are it's empty or it's got a pizza from 2005.
It's probably good for mice as well, like all that shit. It's just like,
oh,
there's nothing composting in your house.
There's nothing composting in this.
Okay, it's also much less gross when you do take it out.
Of course.
It's just a block of frozen yuck.
And also, what's quite nice is you're making a big ice cream for the foxes.
Mm.
It's one way to think about it.
On a level.
Yeah?
On a level.
The final thing we're going to talk about. There has been this theme of... what's the right word? I guess rodents and
pests. I know exactly what this is going to be.
And the last sort of indication of pests in your life, the Indorex household flea spray for the home. It's the final thing we're going to talk about. It's the last thing you bought, Vittorio Angeloni. So take us through why you've got flea spray.
It's my girlfriend's a dog sitter. And sometimes people, when they're going on holiday, and then she arrives and she's like, fuck's sake, the dog has fleas. And listen, an unkind interpretation would be they obviously fucking know mm-hmm. that the dog has fleas, but they don't want to cancel their holiday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they just keep them.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't know. Maybe they wouldn't.
Hey, listen, on top of that. As a parent, sometimes my kid's itching his head a lot. Off you go to nursery. That might have happened in the past. Not saying it has for sure. It might have.
It's one of those things you don't want to cancel your holiday. I sort of get it.
Yeah.
But then
imagine cancelling your holiday because your dog's got fleas.
I mean, brutal. Absolutely insane. But now I have no insurance. Now I have to deflea my house.
Because there's a danger she's bringing fleas home with her.
Yeah.
My God, of course.
My girlfriend's got fleas.
What a way to end. Do you like dogs?
Love dogs. We don't have a dog because we live in rented accommodation in London.
Right.
But yeah. I'm away too much to have a dog. I think this is the thing. We like dogs too much to have a dog in London.
Yeah.
Because we know how much... like needs to go into a dog having a good life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we just don't have that fucking time.
It's so responsible. And also, if she's already looking after dogs, just go and enjoy other people's dogs.
That's the thing. I just go on the dog walks every so often on Hampstead Heath. Yes, please.
Yeah, just be
a dog. See a couple of famous people.
Yeah, exactly. Be a dog perv.
Pretty good.
What's wrong with that?
Get your dog to say hello to Liam Gallagher.
it's a very good system. That's how I met actor and writer Mark Gatiss.
Mm.
Because my dog went up and chatted to him.
He ran past me on a canal once.
I just feel like that has to be the end point of the show. Mark Gatiss ran past me on a canal once.
Clean
and that's Toaster Pod for another episode. Vittorio, thank you for doing the show.
Thank you for having me on. I've loved
it. Go off to Edinburgh. The show is on which show? Monkey Barrel.
Monkey
right?
Barrel, but that's all sold out.
So don't bother.
McEwan Hall. There's two extra shows at McEwan Hall.
Hall.
8th and 22nd of August. Get along to that. And I'm doing a crowd work show as well. There's four of those that are on sale.
Don't be shit, mate. Don't be shit.
It's big. Big to be shit. My cousin's graduated there and they're coming to the show. They're very
so
annoyed.
Exciting. Oh my
God. It's quite funny.
He graduated there.
And then I'm on tour in 2026. That'll be on sale in mid-July. So when does this come out? Do you know?
This is going to be out imminently. July. It'll be out before Edinburgh. So this will be out in July this year. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So the tour may well be on sale around the UK and Ireland. Doing some very exciting venues all around there. And listen to my podcast, Mike and Vittorio's Guide to Parenting.
All right. Thank you so much for coming and doing the show, Vittorio. That was
thank
brilliant.
You,
thank you. Yes!
We did it.
We've done it again, guys. Thank you to Vittorio. Don't forget, give us a follow, please. YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, all that stuff. If you're listening on Spotify, could you take a moment to do a nice review? It really, really helps with the numbers. Next week, Pete Furman is going to be joining me. We're going to talk about close-up magic and much, much more. Make sure you like, subscribe, and all that business. And we'll be back soon with more My Mate Bought a Toaster. And hopefully, maybe, I can do another toasted episode very soon as well. All right, in the meantime, please welcome back your normal lives. All the best, kind regards, lots of love. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster.